T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
I gotta give it to Wiggy. He's smarter than I thought.
Is it Michelangelo who painted the Mona Lisa?
He knows that you're gone for the next week.
No. Glenn would probably stab me in the back quicker if he found another ex tight end that was out there looking for some work.
Wiggy, super talented.
He's gonna try to figure out how we can get it.
He's fresh.
Yeah, that accent? That's a great accent. We gonna do that next.
I'm not really doing anything well right now, and it sucks.
They need the Yankees right now.
Higashioka, the home run stroker.
Wake you up a little bit, realize, and look over there and say, you know what, if we don't wake up, we're going to lose 20-1.
Angry Lou.
Fine, they're going to suck all year, then. Who gives a shit?
Toronto loves the style that shines in sterile environments, the way the Leafs played in Game 1. The Bruins prefer a more violent version.
Anything can happen in a seven-game series.
The Leafs lead the series 2-1.
Right now.
It's not a big man's game anymore. It's a three-point shooting contest.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
A little confused here now.
What happened?
I knew the big fella was going to be.
We got another big fella
today, and Wiggy. Of course, we find out like 5 minutes before the show. Hey, Wiggy, it's good to see you, Wiggy.
I am replacing Fourier, kind of like he replaced me in New England.
Well, as you gave us the rundown, the rankings yesterday, he's the most talented guy on the station.
You're number two. Yeah,
so when number one goes out, you need number two, right?
Well, the reason why I said, and I believe this, he's entertaining, he's funny. And everybody thought when he initially came on that he wouldn't be able, because, you know, he said, hey, he's a football guard. I could tell he's 2 hours a day, kind of like what I get.
Who said that?
Nobody more talented that. Than Christian Fourier.
Come on, who said
that? But that's how it is. That's how it is with all ex-athletes.
So you think they're saying it about you?
Well, of course.
Reamer is.
And I don't get it, though. I mean, before I was an athlete, I was no different than you. I mean, except I was a little bit more athletic, but I was a fan just like everybody else. I, you know, listened to Eddie Andelman and all those guys and listened to the Big O Show when I was younger. So what the hell was any different?
Wiggy, I'm with you. I'm the same way, right? I'm a baseball guy. I try to talk to other sports, even though you constantly tell me I don't know what I'm talking about.
Guys, I'm going to go back and relive their lives now. This is going to be awesome.
We'll just pick on Ordway.
Well, it's like, what is there any different? I watch the sports the same way as you did, except I'm fortunate, like Lou and Christian, that we're fortunate we were better athletes and we were able to make it to that pinnacle of professional sports.
Beautiful.
The pinnacle, like, that's what you
call it.
But see,
here's the thing, though.
See, I think Hall of Fame is the pinnacle.
But the problem is,
getting to the pros is the pinnacle.
I think Ordway was giving you too much credit for like pumping up Fourier, because what I was saying, with Fourier out for the week, you really should have been pumping Glenn and I up. That would have made, you know what I mean? That would have been like, I would love to work with those guys all week, you know, with Fourier out. You know, it would have been a good opportunity.
Was that what it would have been?
Yeah.
You're from Eastie. You know how to work the angle.
Yeah, work the angle.
You know, the 6 to 10 a.m. morning show. That's the Wiggy and Callahan.
Is that your
the
goal?
The Wiggy and Callahan show. We're trying to get that thing really.
So that's your goal?
Yeah, we're trying to get that
thing. What is Mutt? Is Mutt just gone, or is he like the third man?
He's the monkey. It's Wiggy Callahan and the monkey. So he's kind of like,
the hairy
you know,
guy.
He's like, you ever see Goodfellas?
Yes.
You know, when that one scene when he's like bringing him his drink and he's like, dance for me. That's
dance, Mutt. So we go back to his normal role before.
Yes. Before we shoot him.
So what's your plan? How do you get these guys out so you can take over? You need to plan here.
Well, I got a plan. It's working. I'm just waiting on Joey. He's dragging his ass a little bit. I'm going to have to whoop him into shape a little bit.
Just send some of your boys over to talk to Joey. Yeah, maybe speed it up a little bit.
Yeah, we're going
to
go in there and say, now you can't leave.
Yeah, lock the door behind you. You and a couple of your buddies from Eastie.
How the f*** am I funny? What the f***?
How was trending? I missed it. Anybody
hear what happened to trending?
Yeah, there's no news today, guys. There's nothing trending.
You don't
need to scrap it.
Can we just
breaking news. You just heard it. Breaking
news.
Can
we just for like a month do like with the same thing over and over and over again and see if that works?
No, I do that.
Holy smokes.
I think we change up every day.
Just like try it for like 3 weeks or a month or two.
I like to
I don't
keep
know.
You guys on your toes.
Good God. Stability actually means something, but that's all right. Continue, Big O.
All right, we're going to get to this Bruins game in just a second, but this Blake Swihart thing, why is everybody all up in arms? I'm watching people on Twitter here, and it's like the Red Sox just made a major deal where they unloaded somebody that is the difference of winning or losing. Is anybody really that worked up about it?
I don't like it.
Why don't you like it?
I'm not losing sleep over it. I'm not sitting there saying championship.
What's the reasoning for it, though? That's what I would ask.
You DFA'd Sandy Leon like 2 weeks ago. What if someone picked him up? Why'd you keep him in the first place if you didn't trust him? Because that's what I think it comes down to.
Well,
this
no,
isn't,
I
this isn't panic. This is Alex Cora. I'm telling you right now.
Yep.
Alex Cora doesn't trust Blake Swihart behind the plate.
I don't blame
him. He doesn't know who he is. He doesn't know who he is defensively. He doesn't know who he is offensively. And when he looks at his roster, he sees everybody with a role. He knows what to expect from everybody except that kid. And because of it, he made the move. He wasn't comfortable. This isn't like Hanley Ramirez, who I think was more of an issue. This was just looking at my roster and feeling comfortable with what I have and not knowing what you have in Blake Swihart. That's the reason why he got rid of him. And I would say the reason why you don't know much about him is because you really never gave him a look.
So
you never trusted him.
No, and the reason you let Sandy Leon go a couple weeks ago is obviously they looked at the roster. They probably thought nobody's going to pick him up anyway. But if you're Dombrowski, are you not looking at it saying, we got to find out what we've got with Swihart? He was a player that was a guy that we highly regarded. Did they not highly regard him at
sure,
one time?
But I think
to Lou's point, right, is that you looked at Cora, who says, we don't know. This guy's not good enough to play for us. So, I mean, what's the big deal? It's not like you look at him as a player, right? You're not losing anything. When you think about that, you still got
We'll see what he becomes.
Well, you still got Vasquez.
I think he's better than Vasquez.
But we don't know that, right? So
no.
Now we have to wait X amount of years to see if this guy becomes who people maybe believe he's going to be. But the Red Sox are in a position right now. I don't think this move really affects what's going on. The biggest problem is what's going on with this Red Sox team as we look at it. Blake Swihart is not a guy that makes any bit of a difference.
Yeah, but Lou's right. That what's happening right now is that if you're Alex Cora, you need to get some stability here, especially with your starting pitching. Mm-hmm. And he's looking at it. This is the one thing you can get out of Sandy Leon. He won't hit a lick. Maybe right. Every once in a while he hit a home run, you'll get excited and say, oh, my God, he can really hit. But on the whole,
Sandy Leon,
he's going to be useless in that lineup right now. But does he bring some stability? There's a reason they're throwing him out there tonight, with Sale on the mound. They want some stability, trust the other guy.
I understand. They don't trust him because he doesn't believe in him. You know, Jason Mastronato sent out this stupid tweet about the Red Sox record when Swihart's behind the plate compared to Leon.
I saw the same thing.
Like, Swihart 45-61, Leon 152-104.
Tell me when it all happened. When did it all happen?
Anyway, he says there's always more to the story of the numbers, but these numbers are loud. Okay, Jason, if Sandy Leon was a starting catcher in 2015 when Blake caught most of his games on a last-place team, how many freaking wins would he have?
Exactly.
And oh, by the way, you know Blake Swihart, I was looking at it, because last year when Vasquez went down, Swihart jumped in, I think, at about 275 and was good behind the dish, improved, looked really good. He's the best thrower they have. He's got the best arm by far of any of the three catchers. And so the end of the year when Vasquez came back, they just threw him bones. You know his last 12 starts, because people talk about Swihart's ERA. His last 12 starts, these are the guys he caught. Drew Pomeranz, he caught Porcello once, Velasquez twice, Brian Johnson seven times, and William Cuevas. You want to talk to me about ERA and wins? Good luck. Johnny Bench could freaking win games with that guy.
But how many teams...
Give him someone good.
How many teams carry three catchers, though, right?
They don't.
Right. So when you... Going into the season, and you knew that they had three catchers, you knew that they had to make a decision on one of those guys, right? And it was Swihart. But when you look at the position, the catcher position... What are you really getting offensively? Isn't it about the defense nowadays with catchers, right? It's about what guy behind the plate this pitcher likes when so-and-so's catching. I think it was the whole Veritek thing some years ago. I think it was Lester was the guy that he always wanted Veritek to catch for him. So isn't that the thing nowadays when you're looking at the catcher? So Cora, if you say Cora doesn't believe in Swihart behind the plate, then of course – you got to look at that and go, hey, if he doesn't believe in you, why is he even on this team?
Well, are you going to give Sandy Leon a 6-year deal to match Chris Sale? Are we ever going to rip the Band-Aid off?
I don't know if as far as the contract, I don't know what you're looking at with that. But you're looking at right now, when you're talking about this Red Sox team, where are these pitches more comfortable?
But you don't believe that the slow start is because Sandy Leon is not with the team, do you?
No, I'm not saying. I don't think it has anything to do with Swihart, with Sandy Leon, or anything else.
I don't either. And I'll give you the other one. I don't believe that Chris Sale is the type that was in there knocking on the manager's office saying, hey, you need to get Sandy Leon up here. I'm not going out there the next time. That's not him.
I play baseball.
Right, exactly.
Right. My only thing is you mentioned Veritek, and that's a good example, right? Because he's one of the greatest college catchers of all time. Mm-hmm. You know, all-time college catcher, it's Jason Veritek. You know, and I don't recently, who knows where people want to go with that, but still, it was at the time. Caught more than Blake Swihart's ever caught in his career. Mm-hmm. You know, I played with him in 96 or 7 when he got traded over. Saw him hit a .190 down in AAA. Came up to the big leagues. Was a backup to Hattie. And really wasn't Jason Varitek till he was probably 28 years old.
Mm-hmm. Utility guy.
So this kid just basically turned 27. And so doesn't have much catching experience. So well, no kidding.
You think they pulled the plug on Swihart too?
I think they did. I think he's going to be better than anybody they have right now.
Yeah, but I think they pulled the plug.
That's just me.
I think they pulled the plug too early because Alex Cora, I wouldn't say panic, but Alex Cora is sitting there going, I can't do this anymore. I can't do it anymore. And if you're Dave Dombrowski, you look at Swihart, and he's a great tease. Mm-hmm. Because one, though he's not a finely tuned catcher, he's extremely athletic. Okay, so you look at that and say, boy, he could be something if we could really, you know, coach him up a little bit. Plus, he shows you, he teases you that he might be a legitimate major league hitter, right? I'm not sure Vasquez is. We know Sandy Leon is, and he's been around long enough that we know he isn't.
Where do you go, Christian?
So they look at it, and they think maybe we've got something. And Alex has gone 3 weeks now finally saying, guys, I know you like this Swihart, and you want to keep him around. Jesus, maybe you can trade him. Maybe you can get something for him. But I can't do this anymore.
You know what it is? And it comes down to how you feel about a guy because, you know, he didn't trust Swihart as a catcher. He trusts Vasquez as a catcher. So both the pitchers are going out there, and Swihart's first start is with Erod. He goes 4 1/3, gives up 5 earned runs. You know, and so he's like, I don't like the way he caught the game. You know, meanwhile, Sale goes out there on opening day and gives it up, but it's not Vasquez's fault. It's Sale's fault. We got to find it. So it's just Vasquez and Swihart can do the exact same thing, but Alex was always going to look at Swihart as doing the better job. I mean, Swihart, he caught 6 games, 2 of them with Velasquez.
Right.
You know, and he got Erod once, he got Evaldi a couple times. Porcello got lit out in Arizona, but Swihart, Porcello's issue? Caught Vasquez twice, got lit 2 other times. They're 3-3 with Swihart behind the dish. What's this team's record?
They're below 500, I can tell you that.
6-11.
So he can't call a good game.
No.
But Vasquez can?
Stop it. I just,
it has nothing to do with that. You look at this team, it doesn't matter.
Oh, no, I think it does, though. I think Alex Cora is looking at it, and he's looking at Sandy
really
Leon, and he feels comfortable with Sandy Leon. Yeah.
Listen, I was an all-city catcher. You put me behind the plate.
What did you not do?
I saw that form the other day.
Young
Benito Santiago.
That was my boy. But it doesn't make a difference. It's not like we're really sitting here talking about Blake Swihart. Like, it has nothing to do with him. It doesn't have nothing to do with Vasquez.
People are in panic here. Oh,
Bill Simmons
panicking. You don't even live on it. He doesn't even live on the East Coast.
I love what he says. I'm a Boston guy. Yeah, it was 30 years ago.
Hasn't watched the Red Sox game since 04.
I've been in the East Coast for 22 years.
So the ERA right now is the worst in baseball.
The overlord of
what's that again?
Shut up, Bill. The ERA is the worst in baseball, right?
I think it is, yes.
Okay, so do we all believe it's going to turn at some point?
Yes.
So now it's going to turn.
And so,
so now we're going to look at it and say it's because of Swihart. Because of Sandy.
Yes.
Okay.
People will do that and they'll be wrong.
Okay. Sure.
And they'll be wrong,
that's
but they're going to do that because it just happens to be coincidence because these guys are underperforming. They're Cy Young winners and Cy Young contenders. They're not winning right now. They're eventually going to turn this thing around.
Yeah, and it's going to have nothing to do with the catchers.
Turn it around.
It'll be them, and you. I think it was Porcello. I heard him after the game just saying that his mechanics are off. It's this, it's that. I'm no professional baseball player, but I know if you don't have mechanics from whatever sport you play, and if mentally you're not there, you're not going to be performing.
Yeah, you know, Porcello to me, like, he's suffering from like hurt feelings-itis, basically. He wants to come back. They don't want him. He knows it, and he's butthurt over it. And he's got to get his head out of his ass.
That's
a big part of it.
That'll affect him.
All right, we're going to get to the phone calls at 617-779-7937. I don't get it. Are we really concerned that this move is either great or awful for the Red Sox? I mean, come on. And we'll get to the Bruins because Toronto decided last night they were going to see if they could shut down that first line, and they did a damn good job with it. So we'll get to all of that and your phone calls at 617-779-7937. The big lug is off today, but we brought in another big lug. We got Wiggy in here.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Glenn Ordway, Lou Merlone, and Christian Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
This is not going to make or break your team at all. I'm honestly surprised he started the year with the team. There's no market for him. There's no value. Unfortunately, some of these top 20 prospects don't make it. And to me, he's an example of that. I don't know. I certainly have never seen it with Blake Swihart. If you're upset about a backup catcher, I thought a bigger deal was just dumping Hanley Ramirez last year. Now, that worked, and they ended up being just
hugely
fine. But Cora knew clubhouse-wise it wasn't going to work with Hanley not playing every day. But he's a better player than Blake Swihart is. Like, who gives a crap about Blake Swihart?
All right, and I don't think anybody is saying that Blake Swihart was having some difficult moments behind the scenes. All right, there was some concern, basically the way Hanley was dealing with teammates and personnel and whatever, whether they were going to have an issue there or not. I don't. Have you heard anything? You're over there. Have you heard?
No. That's what I mean. It's nothing like that. But when you sit there and say what this guy was supposed to be, I mean, is anyone going to factor in that, you know, when he came up as a catcher in 2015? Forget about what his record was, Jason. That was an awful team, Master Donato. But, you know, he's swung the bat pretty well, and then came out next year, and they said, yeah, you're no longer a catcher. We're going to make you a left fielder. We're going to move you around.
Tried him at first base.
He caught six games in 2016. He ended up getting hurt out in left field. 2017, he came back in minimal games behind the dish as well. And that's giving the kid a chance to show what he can do. They moved him off the catching position. He was a 24, 25-year-old catcher, and they said, go play left. They screwed that kid up from day one. He didn't have 5 years. He had about one good year, and then he had 3 years to try to catch up to what he once was. I mean, they've completely screwed with this kid, and I hope he goes somewhere because I think he can catch everything.
Well, they've killed his value, too, and that's probably my guess is they tried to trade him in the offseason. They probably tried to trade him this spring. But where's his value? If I'm another team, I'm looking at it because catchers were going down. There were catchers. Kansas City lost their starting catcher.
Yep.
So
mm-hmm.
Teams had lost catchers in the offseason or in the spring. And nobody was interested in him, even though they were trying to deal him away. This is the ESPN story. This is the one that gets me. Boston Red Sox recalled catcher Sandy Leone and designated catcher Blake Swihart for assignment, the first roster casualty amid the team's early season struggles. Are we really putting the blame on this team on Blake Swihart or the loss of Sandy Leone?
Isn't this the fault of the Red Sox, not just Cora, but also front office? Because Lou's been talking about it like they didn't give this kid a shot, right? So it's like, you don't give this kid a shot. You should have known that from Jump Street. Is he a catcher? Is he an outfielder?
Yeah, but whose fault is it?
I would think that's the front office and the coach, the guys who evaluate.
All right, so if you're Cora and you're the on-field guy and you don't trust this guy, and let's face it, Lou would know far more than you and I would, though. You were a catcher. Where is he?
Right,
you were a catcher.
All city.
My guess is he didn't look great back
then.
But
why not send them to the minors?
Can't.
You can't send them to the minors.
No, you're out of options.
That's why they kept three catches all year.
Right.
But they kept him and never played him. The only time they played him was when Vasquez went down and showed he's the best catcher they got.
So then Cora believes that this guy's not a catcher.
And the front office believes that he is, and he has value, and he either has value for them or they believe he has value in the way of a trade. He had neither.
Right.
He had none of it. None of it worked out. None of it worked out for the front office. None of it worked out for Alex Cora. And this is why where we are today. But you brought up the great point. What happens if somebody had picked up Sandy Leone a couple weeks ago and you were dealing with
this guy? Well, you look back now, and I'm sure there was a conversation when Sandy cleared waivers, and he was going to because it was like $2.7 million, whatever it was, that when it was a decision time to be a free agent or accept assignment in AAA, you think there was a conversation, maybe a phone call, saying, hey, Sandy, listen, just accept your assignment, go down to AAA, you get to keep your money, you know, you don't pass that up, and I'm going to give this kid 3 or 4 weeks.
Right.
So and you're going to be back up.
I guarantee you they had that.
I almost guarantee
you. They basically made their decision in 17 games. They said, hey, you know, so don't go anywhere. Stay around because we're going to make a decision on Swihart very quickly. And if Swihart doesn't perform at a high level from Jump Street, that's it. We're moving on.
All right, Jay's got another angle to this. Jay's in Brooklyn. Hey, Jay. Guys?
Jay? Yeah, we're good. We don't need Jay anyways. Yes, Jay, I think. Oh, no, we don't need Jay. I don't think they gave him enough time. That's all. It's just six games. You know, and this is a case of where maybe, you know, because other guys don't do their job, you know, maybe you could have kept three catchers if you didn't need eight relievers, but you need eight relievers because the starters aren't getting their job done.
Mm-hmm.
So the starters aren't going out there throwing the ball well. So now what? You got to go find Sandy Leone to try to fix him? So because the starters aren't throwing the ball well, you got to drop Blake Swihart. You know, so to me, it's Is it really about Blake Swire? I know deep down, I know that Alex Cora doesn't know who he is. He doesn't. He doesn't know what this kid is. If he can catch, can he hit? I have no clue. Meanwhile, everyone around him is struggling, so he's the odd man out.
Right, and the problem...
That's the problem. I got a problem.
And the issue when you have a guy like a Swihart where the manager doesn't have confidence in you or doesn't really know who you are, the problem then for him is, all right, you got a guy in Swihart and a guy in Sandy Leone. Which one of these guys do I have more confidence in as far as they're going to do whatever it is Alex Cora wants them to do? But the thing that should matter more is which guy eventually will get you more production and be the better player. And that's the guy you have to lean towards. And even if that means Swihart is struggling and isn't really maybe doing what you expect, you got to go with the guy that long-term is going to
be. Yeah, I'm not sure they gave him an adequate chance here, but they could be panicking right now. And who knows?
Of course they're panicking.
Alex may be having some of those starters coming in, knocking on the door, saying, hey, Alex, you know, Blake's a great kid. He's wonderful. He's terrific. But, man, he is... I have no idea what he's calling and when he's calling.
And I don't
so he may be getting some of that,
I
too.
I don't understand why he would be panicking with, you know...
Because they're 6-11.
Yeah, but it's so early in the season. Why not give this
kid... We'll get to that.
Because he needs his starters to turn it around.
He knows
that's a little bit of a comfort zone. So Blake Swihart, he's the odd man out. Because he knows this. But I hear this, too. Like, is there a chance Chris Sale... After interviewing Chris Sale, do you think there's a shot that Chris Sale would ever go to Alex Cora and make an excuse?
No.
He is sucked I don't have Sandy Leone?
Mike, but
Not a chance in hell.
Do you think there are some guys on the staff that might?
No, I don't.
Oh, the hesitation.
I'm trying to think of names. I don't.
Do you think maybe Alex...
If Nathan Eovaldi throwing 99 with a 96-mile-an-hour cutter and a horse bleep freaking split so far this year and a little tiny little breaking ball is getting hit around the yard, sure as hell ain't because of the catcher.
Right.
Okay? You got power stuff, dominate, and hit your spot.
All right, let me try Jay in Brooklyn again. You there, Jay? Boys, it's on our end.
You guys better find the new provider here. You better get with AT&T or something. Doesn't seem like Intercom's paying the telephone bill.
John Ryder went 3 hours the other day without a phone call. I think we could do four.
Well, we're trying to pay you, Wiggy. You know what I mean? So now
listen, I'm doing this for free, Lou.
You really doing this for free?
No, they're paying me a little bit. Not enough, though.
Are they giving you gift cards?
I need some of that Russell Wilson money.
Oh, good luck to you. Red Sox pitchers and catchers combined batting since the start of the 2018 season. The numbers are god-awful. Pitchers have much better numbers than catchers do. They both really suck. 222, 250, 296, 546. Catchers 195, 246, 301, 547. That is unbelievable. That is unbelievable. All right, 617-779-7937, our phone number. The Bruins, is anybody panicking about them? You panicking, Wiggy?
Am I panicking? No.
No.
It's coming up next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on WEEI.
Toronto loves the style that shines in sterile environments, the way the Leafs played in Game 1. The Bruins prefer a more violent version to test the borders. Harry Sinden said that the team that skates and checks best usually wins. Saturday, the Bruins played to that heritage, infuriating self-appointed purists. But a team got physical and combined it with wicked skill. And so it goes for Boston, which tonight will be the invader behind enemy lines, eyeball to eyeball, with no intention of blinking first.
Getting you charged up, Jackie. What's the matter?
Between he and Grandy, I don't know who's one I got to throw up more in my mouth.
You know, like a little prose before a hockey game?
What's
wrong
with
you?
All night writing their freaking intros.
Didn't get you pumped up? Pumped you, Jack, for that game?
Oxygen tanks ready.
God, it's on NBC, too.
So why are we surprised? Did we not think this was a seven-game series? Likely seven-game series?
No? I don't know if people
thought that. You think they're that much better than the Toronto?
I think going into the series, I think there are a lot of people felt like they should be able to win this in 5 or 6 games.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't. So no surprise. Game one, mm-hmm. they did come out flat. There mm-hmm. was something there. Maybe they felt they could win it in right. 5, so they came out flat. Game two, they become far more physical.
Right.
And because of it, they slowed Toronto down. And that's the one thing you've got to do, right? They're quicker yep. than you. And in game three, maybe the biggest surprise was Toronto decided they're going to get physical.
Right.
You think we're just pretty. You just think we're just, you know, cute and quick.
Toronto was all over them.
They were all over. Jeez. And all over Pastrnak. All over. He had no space last night in that game whatsoever.
I think that's the big question coming out of it is what's Cassidy doing with that first line? I think he dropped the ball in game one. I mean, you got home ice last shift, and you still bang your head against the wall by putting Bergeron's line. You had the choice. You kept putting it out there against Tavares
yeah.
and Marner. To me, that made no sense. So what you do in game two? You moved it around a little bit. Went up against Matthews' line, and the team looked a little bit different. So now they get last change.
They control.
Okay, no big deal. So they control it. So to me, what you done, everyone's screaming at game four, it's a no-brainer. You move Pastrnak down in game four. Not in game five, though. Game five, you used the advantage.
Because you're back home.
Yeah. So you keep that line together in game five, and you find the right match.
Yeah,
but game four, you got to switch them.
So you think that they should switch Pasta?
I do.
If you're going to do it, why would you not do it for a road
because
game?
Because I don't think you could do
it. You could dictate a home game.
I don't think you could do it at all. When you look at the lines, I think you got to keep the lines as is. I don't think you could start moving guys in and out of lines and switching up. You think you could move Pasta out of that line and then who are you going to put there?
Heinen goes up.
See, I don't think you could do that. You've been riding this guy all season long, and now all of a sudden you got to make all these.
He moves it around once in a while. He's always made these changes all year long.
I don't know if you could do that though. I mean, when you look at these lines and you look at what Pasta's been able to give you all season long, I don't think you can now move him down to the third line. It's just to me, Toronto, they are just all over the Bruins, and it's just like. I know we talked about this on the call a little bit, but even like Tavares really hasn't done much, but look at how many scoring opportunities
he's had all series.
Well, it's funny you say that because Cassidy was talking about that, and it seems like he's just looking for the push between these two lines.
Well, I don't know if they hurt us tonight, did they?
Them in terms of preventing.
Well, I thought we did a good job against them. They're an offensive line as well. Tavares had 47 goals. Marner's a 100-point guy or whatever he is, and Hyman chips in, so you know, we've got to be careful. We keep them off the score sheet, too. Now, power play's a different animal. Guys can get going there. And I think the last two games, we've done a real good job with that. They've done a good job defending as well. If you're always in a hurry to get away from something that's kind of a seesaw battle, I mean, we have to rely on our other depth guys to score. We got that in game two. Tonight, we got a good goal from Krejci. But if we feel that it's really an impediment of us having success, then we're going to get away from it or break up the line. We do it at times. We move Pasta around. But at the end of the day, if that's a matchup that he wants, he's going to get it eventually. Even on the road, you can get it at certain points. So we tried to get away from it on some icings to see if it would work our way. Tonight, wasn't able to go. So we'll see how it plays out Wednesday. But honestly, I don't mind it. I mean, it's two good lines going head-to-head every night. We're going to, you know, it's going to tilt our way at some point.
Does not sound like he's going to change.
No, and I don't like the idea that, you know, hey, if our first line and their first line, you know, it's a push, then we're good. No, mm-hmm. You got the best line in hockey this year. The number one line in hockey. So you got to find a way to get them going. You saw what they did last year in the postseason against this team when they get going.
Yeah.
You got to find a way for them to make a move. And he says he can get that matchup on the road. Sure, but you can make it hard on them to get that matchup. You know, you got that Tavares line out there. They got the number one D out there, too, as well, against these guys. And it's... All right, make a choice.
It just looks like
Pasta, DeBrusk, and Krejci in the second line.
When you look at these three games of this series, right? Doesn't it look like Toronto just? It just looks like their intensity level is at another.
Well, games one and three.
You don't think consistently when you look at this series, like the Bruins are doing it at times, but I almost feel like when you look at this series, Toronto consistently their intensity level, and you know I don't bog you down in the forechecking and all this, but it looks like the way they're pressuring the Bruins defense, the way they're getting after pucks, you know, the physicality you talked about. The Bruins were physical in game two, right? Did you kind of see that same physicality in game three? I remember I think it was Brick who had said there were a couple opportunities where they could have really played the body and some Bruins players turn down playing the body and try to play.
Listen, other than the first game, I thought the Bruins have played hard in game two, game three. I thought they played hard again last night. I think the only difference right now is that Toronto has done a great job on that first line. Lou just said it. Best first line in the league. And what are you relying on right now? Charlie Coyle and Krejci, right? That's what you're relying on right now. The biggest question you had with the Bruins going into the playoffs was, are they going to get more than out of the second and third line, right? Because the first line is going to be good. Well, the first line has done nothing for you. Bergeron's having trouble in faceoffs right now.
Yeah, yeah, and he lost a couple of huge faceoffs late in that game. Huge faceoffs in their zone that you just expected him to win.
He's getting tossed out a lot.
Well,
too.
I think game two is when you had when Marchand had a goal and an assist in game two. Was that the game where he had that nice goal?
Yeah, Pastrnak set him up.
Yeah, he had that nice goal, and then he had a nice where he came in like he was going to shoot it and made a nice pass. I think it was to Bergeron on a power play. So either than that, yeah, you obviously need your first line to play, but it goes through all three lines as far as the intensity level of the game, staying on top. You know, whether that's making the Bruins. Think about how many times the Bruins turned the puck over. There was sloppy play, and a lot of that was because of the intensity that we saw the Toronto putting pressure on them.
All right, so how do you get the first line going? Because to me, that's it right now, getting the first line going. I mean, Lou might be correct. Maybe the only way to do it, at least for game four, that's going to be played up there in Toronto, is to break up that first line.
Yeah,
maybe the only answer.
Yes, and then make a choice. You know, you got Muzzin and Zaitsev right now going with, the Tavares line, just shutting down that first line. So make him make a choice. You're still going to have Bergeron. You're still going to have Marchand. Heinen comes up. Now all of a sudden it's like you want to stop that line. You want to stop Bergeron and Marchand? Or do you want to go after DeBrusk, Krejci, and Pasta? Like, you got to at least, to me, on the road, you got to make it a little more difficult for them. You can just roll out the same line. They're going to keep doing the same thing, and they're going to neutralize your best line. You cannot win a series if Charlie Coyle is your best forward. You can't do it. And the advantage that Toronto had in this series was the depth of forwards.
Mm-hmm.
Their forwards, their scorers. They had more depth than forwards. Defensemen, liability. Okay, but their depth at forwards. They can afford maybe this line of Marner and Tavares to not be on top of its game. The Bruins cannot afford their top line to give you nothing.
I don't know, and you just heard Cassidy talk about the year that Pasta had. I don't know if you can now say, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're gonna take you off the first line and put you on the third line. I don't know.
Second line.
You're going to put him on the second line now.
Yeah.
But you said move Heinen up, right?
Yes.
So in the
from the third.
Yes. So you're going to put Heinen on the first line.
Yes.
And you're going to move Pasta to the third.
Second line.
So who are you taking off the second line?
You take off, who's that? Coleman. I get him out of there.
Okay.
Listen, the guy, he's 11 NHL games before the playoffs started. Maybe he's a little bit overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
Good player, right out of college. God bless you. But 11 games, I'm good with that. And, I think you make that move. So I just think that you need to take advantage of that first. You got to find a way to get your guys going. Last year they did. This year they're not.
But Lou, it's so difficult to move a player of like Pasta's caliber to kind of move him all over the place. I just mentally
he's done it before.
I know it's never got
the production that you would thought. Like when they drafted Pasta, they said, "Oh my God, they finally found a guy with Krejci." Right, same homeland. They're going to get along. It's going to be great. And it never seemed to click.
What a dope.
But still, we've seen it. We've seen it before. And I think that they're gonna have to do it again, especially on the road.
I don't know. I'm not a big fan of moving guys around online.
Can you go to game four and have the same thing happen?
No.
And come out of game four feeling good? You can't, right?
No.
You gotta get the first line going.
Right.
What do you do?
You gotta
stay with it?
You gotta figure something out. I mean,
give me a solution though.
Listen. I you gotta maybe light a fire on those ass. I don't know. I'm just not a fan of moving guys around. I think that you're gonna need these guys to figure something out. You're gonna need Pasta to figure something out.
In the playoffs, so that always happens. So they'll start one way and then they'll go three lines and also they'll be getting guys in and getting different shifts. I mean, Pasta last night a couple times double shifted. Unfortunately, he just gave you absolutely nothing no matter where who was with.
This is playoff hockey.
But when you're talking about one of your best players on the team and moving him around, you hardly ever see teams move their best player and drop them down in lines. You hardly ever see teams doing that. And they might move other guys around, but you don't see teams because you don't want to mess up that, I don't know, that cohesion that you've had all season long. I know that you're struggling in the postseason and you hope that they're able to come up out of it, but you stop moving guys around. I think that does more damage when you stop moving guys around.
Let's try the phone calls at 617-779-7937, see if they're working. Here's Rob in New Hampshire. Hey, Rob.
Now, your phone lines suck.
Dude, getting tired of this place. What are we doing here?
Let's just shut the whole system down. All right, you shut the whole system
Listen,
down.
Listen, give me a call. Call my cell. We'll put you on, all right?
We'll do it this way. We'll put our cell phones up against the microphone and put it up there.
Man, what are y'all doing over here?
It's a good question.
Time to get something going.
Good question. I knew we were in trouble when they were paying you the big bucks and it was going to take away from engineering. And
is that what it is?
Yeah, I think that's got to have something to do with it. So are you panicking about the Bruins? Because you're sitting here with no suggestions, no solutions.
I mean, listen, you
seem like you're concerned.
I'm not coaching the Bruins. I wouldn't move guys around. I would try to, maybe if you want to move the lines, if you want to switch the first line and the second line, maybe you do that.
But you don't have that option necessarily because
Babcock
can do
that. You're
on
the road. He does that. You don't do that. Maybe. Wait, they change lines all the time. What are you talking about? In the playoffs, as the season goes on,
you've seen
great lines. They move, they break them up, or they form that super line all the time.
Yeah, in certain situations.
They've done it in the middle of a playoff series.
You don't take one of your best players on your
team.
Sure
you do.
And say, hey, I'm going to move you off this line.
Yes, you do.
And now put you.
You do it in the playoffs. Absolutely.
You're not moving them down to the third line or the fourth line.
You're moving them to the second line.
Top six forward.
But you're having him play with a guy that he hasn't played with all season long.
He's played with him.
He's been playing with Bergeron and Marchand all year long. Now you're going to move him off that line and drop him
down. Yeah, but hold on. The game changes dramatically when you get into the playoffs, okay? You're playing regular season games. You're playing different teams different nights. When you get into a series, it is a matter of maneuvering. We've already seen it. Okay, we saw it in the first game. Toronto was too quick.
I think it's certain pieces. I don't think you move your best.
It's all strategy.
But I don't think the whole series is all strategy. You don't move your first line forward, right? A guy that you've counted on all season long. You paid him a ton of money.
They've shut him down.
But they've shut
your main guy down right now.
It doesn't matter.
You have to free him up.
Listen,
how do you free him up?
I told you. Maybe you switch the lines. Maybe you put Krejci's line first and you put Bergeron's line.
I just told you though. Babcock's going to. He's going to have the handle. He's going to be able to control that.
I understand that, but I listen.
Unless you have guys out for long periods of time,
it's going to
be some long damn ass shit.
I'm not a fan of taking your guy that you have been counting. You've been riding him all year long. He's been on that first line. He's had a tremendous year, and you say, okay, now all of a sudden we're going to move you to the second line. We're going to have you play with the Brusk and Krejci. Now, yes, you played with them before, but the cohesion is with Bergeron and Marchand.
Well, it doesn't sound like Cassidy is going to do that, but if you're going to do it, Lose right.
You'll do it during the game.
You do it in game three. They'll do it in portions of the game, probably.
Yeah,
you're going to have
to.
If you're struggling, you're going to have to. Your first line is the reason.
Is it one player?
It's your first line. It's their line. It's just Tavares' line that's matching up with you, Muzzin and Zaitsev. You're allowing them to put their best defensive pairing to shut down your one line. And say, can you beat us with everybody else? And they haven't been able to. The only time it happened was at home when he actually put him up against Matthews'
line.
He actually did it.
You want those guys to score more. Why not move Krejci up to that line then? Why not move Krejci up to replace Bergeron and put Bergeron on the
side? How does that make any sense? You don't want to move Pasta, but you want to move Krejci?
I'm asking you that question.
Because it's about pairings to me. It's about DeBrusque and Krejci. It's about Bergeron and Marchand. And Pastrnak's a guy that can flip-flop back and forth.
That's what I'm saying. So then don't say the lines and say Pasta, right?
Yes, Pasta.
Glenn said the lines, right? Is it the lines or
Pastrnak is your problem. They have really shut him down. They gave him no space last night.
Listen, I'm not a big fan of moving one of your best players. Moving one of your best players off the line.
Why wouldn't you move your best player if you can give him some space? You can get him off other bodies and you can open stuff up for him. Right now, your whole season, I agree.
Because it's about the cohesion in hockey, Glenn. It's about the chemistry that you build with your line.
When your ass is down 3-1, talk about cohesion to me.
But that's what it's about. It's about chemistry you build with your line mates. And now your
playoffs are so different in regular season.
Yeah, but not
season,
when you're
though.
Talking about your best player.
You're Wiggy, you're acting like Pasta's never played with these guys. He's played with Krejci. Not every single game,
but
throughout games.
The connection,
a lot.
The cohesion he has with Bergeron and Marchand as far as where they are on the ice, that's been over time and time and time. Now you're saying you're moving one of your best players. It's not like you're saying, okay, we're going to move Heinen up to the second line, a guy that maybe you move all the time.
I like Ian Coyle together, but you got to make adjustments because you keep banging your head against the wall. You're down 3-1 coming to Boston.
Well,
if you keep that line out there, if you don't make a damn change at all, you will come back down 3-1.
Then if I'm the coach,
so what do you do?
If I'm the coach, I need to figure out a way, and I need to say, hey, listen, Pasta, we need more out of you on this first line with Bergeron and Marchand.
And how does he do that?
We need light a fire. I don't know. Light a fire on his ass. Take his head and bang it into the locker.
So is that what you think the problem is? The problem is you don't think that Pasternak is out there playing his ass off?
Well, that's what you're telling me. You're saying you want to move.
No,
him
I
off
think
the
they've done
line.
A great job. Of bottling him up. That's what they're doing. He's got no space out there. And you know what? It's the right strategy. But I think that's the huge difference between the NHL and the regular season. You go out there and you play your game in the regular season.
So they're not bottling up Bergeron and Marchand?
When you get into the playoffs. No, there's some of that. But I think Pasternak is the guy specifically.
They are.
That they're really honing in on.
They are. But if you
it's
can get,
one guy you're talking about here.
They are. But if you have Tavares and they stick with Marchand and Bergeron, now, all of a sudden, you got a dynamic second line, Krejci, DeBrusk, and Pasta, to go up against Matthews. So you're just trying to even it out, make them make a choice, because right now you're making it too damn easy for them. And it's not, I know it is about this line. It's really about everything. I mean, the defense is a liability for Toronto. They're not taking advantage of that. They're not getting a puck behind the net. You heard Cassidy talking about it after the game. They didn't put the pressure on them like they did in game two. To me, the whole thing is you slip walk in game one and you didn't make the move, take advantage of the home ice to try to get the right matchup, and now you're chasing it.
If you move Pasta down to your second line,
yes.
What's your best line? What is your best
line?
You
got two very good lines. That's the point.
What's your best line?
They can't hone in on one.
You don't think they can hone in on one?
Well, they can.
Right now, they are,
but they can't hone in on both of them. So it opens some stuff up for those guys.
Hey, listen, you don't do
every game is. If you look at every game, it has all been strategy.
Right.
Game one, Toronto was flying, right?
Right.
And you're sitting there watching them and say, "Oh, they're too quick."
Right.
So Boston in game two says, "Nope,
we're going to be more physical."
That's right, and we're going to slow their ass down, and they did. Game three, what did Babcock do?
Toronto said, "We're going to
slow down that first line."
But Toronto also said, "We're going to match your physicality."
Exactly, and they did.
This is physical,
and especially with that first line, and Pasta doesn't like the physicality, right? So this is what you've got in a game three. So if you're going to game four, you tell me what the strategy is. I don't think you can stay with us. I don't think that works to stay with it and say, okay, we'll see what happens. I'm not sure that works. All right. We having trouble with the phone lines. So we're going to carry on the conversation here. We'll let you know when the phone lines are fine, and then we'll get to the phone calls. Wiggy is also feeling very optimistic about the Celtics. We're going to get to that as well right here on OMF. The big lug is off, but we've got Wiggy filling in.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.